Welcome to The Brighter Side of Education. I am your host, Dr. Lisa Hassler, here to enlighten and brighten the classrooms in America through focused conversation on important topics in education. In each episode, I discuss problems we as teachers and parents are facing and what people are doing in their communities to fix it. What are the variables, and how can we duplicate it to maximize student outcomes? Today, we're diving into the pivotal role parents play as their child's first teacher, especially in the crucial early learning years. Research has firmly established the critical importance of a child's first 5 years in shaping early cognitive, social, emotional, and regulatory skills. The experiences and learning opportunities during this period lay the groundwork for future academic success. Therefore, it's imperative for parents to provide children with a strong foundational start before they enter formal education. How can parents effectively prepare and support their child for reading, writing, and math at home? Well, joining me today to discuss early childhood curriculum is Autumn McKay, an early childhood teacher turned author with over 12 publications. Her focus is on English language arts and math for toddlers to first grade, with a bonus of engineering coloring books and parent support through gratitude journaling. Welcome, Autumn. I'm so happy you could join us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Could you share a bit about your background and what inspired you to write teaching books for parents?
So I was a teacher before I became a stay-at-home mom. And basically, I got bored playing with the same toys with my son. And so I wanted to make that time together intentional. And being a teacher, I decided to create this big Excel sheet of each activity that we were going to do each day. And I put it on our fridge and we did those activities. And my husband saw how much fun we were having and how much he was learning. And so he encouraged me to write books to share with other moms that were staying home with their kids.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I think that having a resource like the ones that you've made make it so much easier to be able to access great ideas without having to scour the internet for like, well, you know, what about this one little thing? You've collected it all together in your ultimate preschool activity guide, which is super invaluable for parents when they're looking for things to do with their kids. So why is it so crucial that parents be deliberate in the activities they choose for their preschoolers? And could you share one of your favorite activities from your guide?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's crucial because you want your child to enjoy the learning process because hopefully they're going to be lifelong learners. And so it makes it a lot more fun when they enjoy that learning process. And each child has different interests at different times. So that's why the Ultimate Preschool Activity Guide is so good because you can pick which theme suits your child best. There's many activities from the book that I'm fond of because it just brings back memories of me and my children doing those together. Yeah. Just a few of my favorite are the spaghetti painting where we learn about Italy. Oh. So you take like spaghetti noodles and you tie them up in a rubber band and you boil the bottom half so they're wiggly. And then they use that as a paintbrush and paint a picture with those.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. And then there was a nectar relay where we're learning about bees. So they get an eyedropper and they collect yellow water. Uh-huh. And then they have to race and put it in the honeycomb and fill the honeycomb, which is just an ice tray.
Oh,
and so
fun.
That was really fun for them. Yeah.
Good fine motor skills with that dropping of it. That's mm-hmm. That's really great. I'm a beekeeper, so I'm like, oh, I love the bee stuff. Yeah, that's wonderful. So your reading series, you have a reading series. It sounds mm-hmm. really fantastic. How do these books contribute to children's development, and what's the best way for parents to make the most of them?
So I'm a big proponent for children to learn to read at home or parents to partner with their child's teacher so that together they can focus on teaching their child to read. And these books are broken apart into different learning to read stages. So there's three books and they all offer a hands-on approach to teach reading because it's just more fun that way for a child and also for a parent.
Yeah.
So the pre-reading book offers activities that help the child get ready to learn to read. So learning how to hear all the sounds of words, how to blend sounds together, and how to identify lowercase letters.
Nice.
And then the beginning reader book is the beginning stages of learning to read. So it's all the phonics of like the short vowels and all the other letters in the alphabet. So they're learning one letter at a time.
Okay.
And the sound of it, and then building on that each lesson. So they'll learn to sound out the words, they'll learn to read sentences, and even short stories.
Nice.
All through hands-on activities. And then the developing reader is just all the difficult sounds of reading. So the long vowels, the CH sound, the SH sound, the different G sounds, things like that. And they practice short stories and stuff like that.
Oh, good. I was going to ask, like, so what kinds of things are in there? So you're focusing on those skills and then they're included in short stories. And are there any activities that partner with that? Or is this scripted? Like, you know, that they're reading the script and then maybe are doing some activities in the workbook that follow along with those skills?
So they are activities like my other ones.
Yeah.
So they're all like materials list, and then they offer directions, like step-by-step directions for the parent. But for the child, it's just like a hands-on activity where they get to practice that skill.
Oh.
Like they learn the letter sound and then they get to practice it. And then they get to read the short story.
Nice. Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So you have a math series as well. Let's discuss your workbook. Given your experience with various curricula, how are your books structured? And then what makes these stand out?
Okay. So I use Common Core standards as a guideline. I know it's like scary saying Common Core because it's usually got a bad rap, but I just use it as a guideline because most states use Common Core for their curriculum. And I just use it as a guideline to make sure that it includes everything a preschooler, a kindergartner, and a first grader should know by the end of that grade level.
Excellent.
And so then I sorted the workbooks by categories, just so that if your child needs extra practice in telling time or learning shapes, then you can go to those specific practice pages instead of like having to find which page suits their needs. But my workbooks aren't just like regular worksheets where it's just practice problems. I try to make each page unique and kind of like puzzles or games or coloring, just so it's a little more fun.
Yeah.
But all you really need for these workbooks is crayons or a pencil. So it's easy to take to like a restaurant or a doctor's office, things like that.
That's great. Do you suggest any manipulatives for parents to get or to use? Or are those things that they can have just on hand at common household objects?
For the workbooks, I don't suggest getting anything. But for my like activity books, those are the things that I suggest using manipulatives or things that you have at home. Usually things that you have at home.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued by your little engineer coloring books. I know you said your husband is the creator of these. Their focus is on topics like construction and trucks, airplanes and helicopters, and even how to build a house. I can't imagine how this book is broken into. So can you just elaborate on the purpose and then how are they designed?
Yeah. So he is an engineer. And he wanted our kids to learn how things were made. He's one of those guys that when something breaks, he lets the kids take it apart and see all the little pieces that make up that object.
Great.
So he teaches them like how those pieces work together and how it makes it function and things like that. And he wanted to share that with other kids. And I actually learned how to, like the parts of a car work from his coloring book. The house one is really cool because it also has videos that he did.
Oh,
like there was a neighborhood beside us that was in the process of building homes. So he took a video camera and he showed like the ins and outs of that process. And so the coloring book offers online videos as well.
Wow. Oh, that is really unique. Mm-hmm. And I love like when I seen some of the coloring pages, how they have information. So they're like teaching them as well about what's happening on the page and processes and a little bit of information on those pages. It just seemed like it was very informative and interesting, very interesting. I would love to color them.
Yeah, he wanted it to be kind of like a story as well as coloring.
Nice. We're going to talk about digital devices. Many children now engage with digital devices for learning, and you're offering hands-on activities. Would you like to just compare how your hands-on activities compare to digital device learning, what parents should be considering when choosing early learning activities, and how they can create a healthy balance with less struggle?
So I'm a big fan of the less amount of screen time, the better.
Yeah.
Kids learn so much more when they use their senses. So like seeing, touching, feeling, hearing, smelling, all of those things. And they just don't get that experience when they're on the screen.
Right.
When they use those senses, it connects in their brain and it sticks in their brain. But when you're on a screen, it's just difficult to get that connection in the brain. So it also takes away valuable time that you could be spending with your child when they're on the screen.
Good point.
So kids aren't going to remember their high score that they got on some app. They're going to remember the time they spent with you as the parent, doing activities together, putting together a puzzle, or just reading a book together. So that's why I try to steer away from screens. But it's also fair to say, the longer you hold off on offering screen time, the less battles you're going to have to fight with your child. So the longer you wait, then the less battles you'll have to fight.
Yeah, absolutely. So just hold off a little bit more. Enjoy that that quality one-on-one time with them while you have it.
Yes.
It's so fleeting. And then just make those connections with the sensory. And I really like the way that you touch on the fact that, I mean, if something is electronic, they're going to be getting the visual, they might be getting the auditory, but they're not getting those senses when it comes to maybe gross motor skills or even the fine motor skills beyond, you know, clicking, and then they'll be able to do things like with taste and with smell. And I always love to encourage food.
Yes.
When I was working with the little ones and when mine were young, I loved being able just to simply bake with them, you know, being able to get messy, and how many kids don't have the experience of just getting into a bowl of flour or, you know, mixing with a spatula and the muscles that they're using even with that, you know what I mean? And being informed of measurement, temperature, things like that. So simple little things that with like with mathematics or culture that you can bring in with those wonderful activities of when they're young. And I used to love doing splashing of puddles. You know, we'd go outside and take advantage of those rainy days and paint with rainwater. And so I just look at it as such a wonderful oasis of learning opportunities when they're young, that I could see where holding off on those devices really is good advice as long as you can. Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of parents are having a hard time with not only balancing it, but then like that struggle that goes on where they want it just like they want everything. So it's just another thing that you have to kind of battle.
Yeah.
Could you leave parents with three actionable tips?
Yeah. So I have a freebie that I want to offer your listeners. So you can, if you want to start your own activity time, then this freebie offers 6 hands-on activities from one of my books, and then also 6 coloring pages from The Little Engineers. So you can go grab that in the show notes. And then my second tip would be to be intentional with your children. Spend time with your children without a phone or device interrupting that time. Just like you said, time is fleeting with our children. So spend as much time with them as you can. And then my third tip would be to give yourself grace. Not every day is going to go as you planned. So don't get stressed when it doesn't go that way. So if one day you don't get to do the activity that you had planned, then just start over the next day and allow yourself some grace.
Yeah. You brought up a good point about having grace with yourself. I know parents have a lot of things to juggle and things get very stressful. You have a gratitude journal for parents. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So it's for moms, I guess dads could use it too, but I made it for myself because I was going through like mom burnout. I had just gotten overwhelmed with all the tasks of motherhood. And so my husband encouraged me to practice gratitude. He listens to tons of podcasts And he had heard that many CEOs practice gratitude in the morning before they like start their day. And so he started doing it and he encouraged me to do it. And so I did. And I noticed as I was practicing gratitude that my brain was still like focusing on basically my to-do list for the day.
Yeah.
So I began to journal and I made the journal for myself, but also for other moms that were struggling with burnout or overwhelmed. So you write down three things you're thankful for each day. You write down a win that you had for the day, a lesson that you learned.
Nice.
And then it offers a reflection spot or a prayer spot that you can write down stuff.
That sounds really wonderful. Yeah. I think that that's something to be keeping in mind is being focused on the positive really helps put things into perspective with, all right, I'm doing a good job. I should probably not be so stressed or hard on myself on the small things that don't always go the way that I hope that they did and celebrate those wins along the way. And I know for myself, when I get to celebrate those wins, no matter how small, it feels so good. Like you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Things just seem to feed off of that positivity. Your children feel it. Your spouse feels it. The people that you're talking with at the grocery store or wherever you may be, the park, and they're feeling it. And I just think it, you know, really sets up a wonderful way to begin that day with your young one. So good advice, and definitely check that out. So thank you, Autumn, for sharing insights on how parents can support their child's academic journey.
Thank you for having me. It was great to talk with you.
To learn more about Autumn McKay, her books and blog, you can go to bestmomideas.com. If you have a story about what's working in your schools that you'd like to share, you can email me at drlisarichardsonhassler@gmail.com or visit my website at www.drlisarhassler.com and send me a message. If you like this podcast, subscribe and tell a friend. The more people that know, the bigger impact it will have. And if you find value to the content in this podcast, consider becoming a supporter by clicking on the supporter link in the show notes. It is the mission of this podcast to shine light on the good in education so that it spreads, affecting positive change. So let's keep working together to find solutions that focus on our children's success.